This is the Naked Abe. Welcome back. We've got our guest on the phone, Mark Perkel. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Hold on, let me put you up here.
Mark?
Yes.
How's it going?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
You're speaking with me, Matt Renner, and Annette, and James.
Hello.
Can everyone hear him?
Yeah.
Excellent. So, Mark, we want to know about your church because it's really interesting. We've been talking a little bit about religion, our personal religious beliefs, and how it affects the politics of this country and the day. Your church is the Church of Reality. What's your official title there?
I am the first one of the Church of Reality. I'm the founder. I'm the leader. I'm the one who came up with the idea.
Mark, you seem like a really interesting guy. I checked out the Church of Reality. It's a very interesting concept. We'll get there in a second. But I also looked at your personal website, and you have quite a few links on there. My favorite is, wait, where'd it go? Sex Information Site and Nerd's Guide to Sex.
Yeah, those are very popular web pages that I wrote. Men's Guide to Escort Services is on there, too. And I have an interesting background, and there's lots of links there, things that I'm into.
Well, let's name a couple. Why don't you give us a couple of them? Looks like you're really into a lot of politics.
Well, I ran for U.S. Senate against John Ashcroft in 2000. So.
Wow, thank you. Yeah. How'd that go?
I'm the guy who lost to the guy who lost to the dead guy, so.
Can you believe that?
Which is how politically savvy I am. But
nice.
The reason I ran, and I ran as a Republican in Missouri, I was living in Missouri at the time, was that it was the last day to sign up, and John Ashcroft was unopposed, and he was on Bush's short list of people who could get picked for vice president. So I thought, well, if I run against him and Ashcroft gets picked, then I become the Republican candidate for the state of Missouri for U.S. Senate. And I thought, well, that's worth $200, so I signed up and I ran.
That's pretty cool. Are you actually, do you identify yourself as a Republican?
No. I'm a member of whatever party is most effective to be a member of at any one time. 2 years before that, I ran against Roy Blunt for Congress, and I ran as a Democrat.
Nice. So you're a strategist.
I'm a strategist.
Nice.
My political party is the strategist party.
Nice. Well, that's great. We like all people from all parties here as long as you want to come on and discuss.
No, we don't. You have a Republican shirt on that says Kill Earth. What are you talking about?
Yeah. We're a little biased, but... Mark, I checked out your press release on the Daily Kos today about, or Kos, I guess is how you're supposed to pronounce it, about the abortion bill, and that's what turned me on to your church. I want to give out the website to our listeners. It's churchofreality.org, spelled just as it sounds, churchofreality.org. And you said you have 700 members or something like that, did you say?
I have 700 people on the email list. The number of members is far beyond that. We don't actually count membership. A person can be a realist by just deciding at any one point to have an awakening, which is a commitment to believing in reality the way it really is.
I see. And what does that mean to you? What do you mean reality the way it is?
Okay, well, the Church of Reality is committed to to believing in reality the way it really is, objective reality. And, of course, nobody knows what everything is in objective reality. So it's really about the pursuit of reality and the promotion of reality. We want to make reality important in people's daily lives. So we are essentially evangelizing reality. And
are we in reality right now?
Yes. We make the assumption that this is reality and it actually exists.
So there's no rapture coming? Is that basically your point?
There's no rapture coming. The Church of Reality's position is positive evolution, that the human race will continue to evolve forward into something better than it is today. The people who believe in the rapture, and Armageddon are extinctionists, which, envision the future in the destruction of the human race. And that's one of the things that distinguishes reality, realism from Christianity, is that we believe in a positive future and they believe in a future of destruction.
The reason I bring that up is because our news anchor, James, here just brought us a story about a video game that basically is... a video game for people who watch the Left Behind movies and read the books.
And it supposedly the game has a level of violence similar to
Grand Theft Auto.
To Grand Theft Auto and Passion of the Christ. It is,
I don't know.
Violent.
It seems very hypocritical. I mean, I really enjoy some violent games sometimes. I mean,
but to base them in reality, I mean, to base them in religion is kind of twisted.
Yeah.
But let's talk about abortion, because I think that this is a really interesting.
No, but we haven't really even talked about his the founding principles of his Church of Reality.
Okay. Sorry. Let's finish the founding principles then. Go ahead, Annette. What's your question?
What are the founding principles of Church of Reality? Do you guys believe in Christ? Do you guys believe in life after death? Heaven, hell?
No, we don't believe in any of those things. Our official position on things like that, if God exists, for example, is if God actually shows up in physical form, then we'll believe in him because he's real. But until he shows up physically, you know, then he's just yet another myth along with all the other various gods of other religions. So as far as life after death, you know, there's no evidence that there's anything that... that you have any type of existence after you die. Of course, if we discover that, you know, it becomes part of reality, then we would believe in it. But, you know, for now, you know, we stick with, you know, science, you know.
Things you know that are real
right.
so far.
But the Church of Reality gives a religious identity to people who are realists. So if somebody asks you what you are, what do you believe in, and if you say you're an atheist, that doesn't speak to what you believe in. That speaks to what you don't believe in. A realist is somebody who believes in reality, and you can say, well, I'm a realist, and hopefully someday people would say, oh, I know what a realist is, Church of Reality, and you're somebody who believes in reality the way it really is.
My question is, why a church? Why not a club? I mean, I can understand a club of reality, but when I hear the word church, I think religion, and I do think of God, and I do think of, you know, Christ and heaven and hell and life after death. I'm just curious as why you went the church route.
Well, the reason is because religion kind of represents a certain natural organization of the way the human mind works. A lot of the stuff we know isn't stuff that we know. We basically know things because we trust other people who know certain things. For instance, I believe in the Big Bang, but I don't know, you know, out of any personal experience or personal research, you know, that the Big Bang actually occurred. I believe in it because the science people who do the Big Bang research are people who I trust, and that I trust their process and so forth. So. It's sort of by using being a religion and a church, I create a package of religious ideas and beliefs that people can accept basically the identity as a package, and it works the same way that, you know, most of the other, you know, human knowledge is really organized. Is basically we have this concept called the tree of knowledge, which represents the sum total of all human understanding. And that our understanding is collective. You know, we have this giant neural network, you know, where our minds are sort of linked as one giant human computer, and we all are part of society and benefit from that. And religion is one of the ways that we organize knowledge. And so I created a religious identity to refute the idea that, you know, all religions are, you know, have to be, you know, deist religions have to be based on fiction. You know, there are new reality-based religions, and we're out to compete with the fiction-based religions and create a new definition of what religion is.
Do you ever get any opposition? Do people attack you and think you're crazy, ever?
Oh, people think
I'm just
crazy.
Thinking of, no, go ahead.
People think I'm crazy all the time. You know, that's not uncommon. But how can you attack the belief in reality when especially a religion is that's committed to the pursuit of reality? Because people will say, well, how do you know your reality is real? And it's, well, I'm not promoting my reality. I'm promoting reality itself and the dedication to reality. And, you know, who can argue with that? You know, how can you speak against reality?
So if you have a reality that, let's say my reality is different than yours, because I think that everyone's is pretty different. Is my reality, I mean, if I was in the Church of Reality, it would be what's real to me?
Well, there's, people have individual perspective on reality, but then there's objective reality, and one of my examples I use is if a Christian who believes that God can make him fly and a Buddhist who believes that God can make him fly jump off the Golden Gate Bridge at the same time in a vacuum, which one will hit the water first? There's absolute reality out there.
Right.
You know, but we do have our own perspective on it, because of that's one of the things about the Church of Reality is the Church of Reality is different from science, and that science is pure reality, but the Church of Reality is the human perspective of reality. So the Church of Reality is really about people pursuing reality and reality from the perspective of humanity.
I see. Do you ever spend a whole day in reality without saying the word reality?
See, reality is our sacred message. Every time you say the word reality, an angel loses its wings.
Exactly. So you guys don't believe in all that. I mean, you believe in all that sciencey stuff, like evolution and gravity.
Well, yes. And in fact, yeah, evolution is central to the Church of Reality beliefs because we see ourselves as an evolving religion. Forward is our sacred direction, and we not only believe in evolution, we embrace evolution, and we feel like that our pursuit of reality is all about taking control of our evolution and determining, you know, what it is that the human race is going to evolve into.
So would you say this is kind of an evolution of, what's the word I'm looking for? Religion, that's right.
Yes, I see the Church of Reality as the next stage of the evolution of religion, and it's also the next stage of the evolution of atheism because, you know, atheism is sort of like a dead-end thing, too, because atheism is all about what you don't believe in.
Instead of claiming something you do believe in.
Instead of claiming something you do believe in.
And now, is another benefit of creating a religion based on reality that it actually is protected by law?
Yes, all religions are protected by law. So as long as you really are a religion, you have the same religious rights. And the Church of Reality brings religious rights to atheists. Basically, anybody who, you know, claims to be a realist, you know, who accepts reality into their life and makes a religious commitment to the belief in reality becomes a realist and is then, therefore, you know, gets all the religious benefits of being a member of the Church of Reality and can assert a religious right to the same way that Christians and Muslims and other religions can assert religious rights.
All right, so let's move on now. I want to give out the website again. It's thechurchofreality.org. Everyone check it out, and I think I'm going to sign up for the email list because it's pretty interesting stuff to me. I want to go ahead and move on to your posting today about the South Dakota abortion law.
Yes.
And how the premise is that it infringes on the religious freedom of realists.
Yes. The Church of Reality recognizes that a woman has an absolute right to choose to reproduce when she decides she wants to or decides that she does not want to. And that is based on, you know, an absolute freedom of a person to determine their own destiny. We believe strongly in personal freedom and liberty and the equality of the sexes, and that we believe that, you know, we have a religious right to an abortion, that it's sensible, it's responsible, and that that the South Dakota law infringes on the religious liberty of women in the Church of Reality to obtain abortions.
Now, as much as I agree with you in that, I think that you make a lot of sense there, isn't it a little bit of a stretch of an argument to make that because you have now created your own religion that it goes against your religious principles? I mean, couldn't I create a religion that, you know, I have founding principles that, I don't know, everyone has to pay me $1 million or something?
Yes.
There's lots of religions.
God, Matt.
Yes, you could create a religion with that rule. There's no restrictions on religion. The courts absolutely have a firewall that they never cross when it comes to determining the validity of a religious belief. You know, if I am the founder of the Church of Reality, and in my religion I am given the authority to make religious law, and I can make anything I want, and the courts have to recognize it, that it is the religious law of the Church of Reality.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Legislation.
Nice
weird.
Angle.
Now,
you are a strategist.
Yeah. Now, the thing is when it comes to the application of law, you know, to religious thing, well, what I have to do is show that the law produces an undue burden on my religious beliefs. And if I can show that, then the government has to show that they have a compelling state interest in enforcing the law against against, you know, people who are members of my religion.
I see. So the idea here is to stand up against this bill saying that people, as a founding principle, women have a right to an abortion, but because this bans the rights for South Dakotans to get abortions, even in extreme cases, it's infringing on your religious beliefs. How do you think this is going to play out? I mean, is there actually a court challenge behind this, or what's your plan?
Well, just in the last 2 weeks, the Supreme Court ruled that a religious group was allowed to take a hallucinogenic drug, which is a Schedule I drug, the highest most dangerous drug that the government has, that they are allowed to take this drug as part of a religious rite, and that the federal government failed to convince the Supreme Court that there shouldn't be a religious exemption. So that's the standard that the government has in enforcing laws against religion now as a result of that Supreme Court decision. And I looked at that and said, wow, you know, they just gave me the power to veto Congress. I'm going to, you know, take advantage of that.
Nice.
Awesome.
That's peyote and ayahuasca, right?
Yes.
Yeah, in fact, I got my drugs straight.
Peyote,
pro when it comes to drugs.
Yes. And in fact, the Church of Reality itself is eventually going to assert a religious privilege to certain hallucinogens as well, because the idea for the Church of Reality came one day when I was smoking a joint, you know, and I was stoned, and I was like, Church of Reality, you know, and the next day it was like, hey, this is still a good idea, let's see if the name's taken, so I registered the domain name, and that's where it all started, you know, so the Church of Reality would not
exist. That should be in your mission statement.
Yeah, so the Church of Reality wouldn't exist if not for marijuana, so that is one of our sacred sacraments, and, you know.
It's interesting, though. I think you make a good point that when you step away from, you change your reality or you alter your understanding of reality with the use of mind-altering substances, whether that be, you know, LSD or marijuana or coffee or whatever it is, it changes things for a little bit, and you're like, oh, yeah, there's a reality, and my world does exist. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I see your point, and I really respect that. That's cool.
Yeah.
The question I have, though, is that, okay, so we have a legal precedent for this, and this is going to be a big fight, or at least it should be. It's not actually as big a deal as it hasn't been made into such a big deal yet. I don't know why that is. Do you have any opinions on why people aren't getting up in arms about this as much?
Well, this decision is only 2 weeks old, you know, that gave religions this kind of power. And I looked at that and thought, wow, you know, isn't this interesting? Wonder what I can do to take advantage of this situation.
Right.
Because the Church of Reality, of course, is a religion that is based on evolution, you know. So one of the forces of evolution is to take advantage of your environment. So when they create an environment in which case I can promote the advancement of reality through certain laws and procedures, it is, you know, part of our religion to take advantage of those opportunities.
Nice, like the Darwinism of religion.
Yes, religions are evolving. And also one of the other missions of the Church of Reality is to help the evolution of other religions, you know, to introduce the concept of reality and the dialogue of reality into the religious conversation so that we have people talking about reality instead of talking about God. And we believe that every time a person says reality, that it causes them to think about reality, and that causes them to be real in the sacred moment. And when you're real in the sacred moment, it reprograms your brain toward reality so that we can get Christians to evolve in a way, for example, and Muslims to take reality into consideration in their important decisions in life. They may still be, you know, Christians and Muslims, but they'll be less dangerous Christians and Muslims because they'll be thinking about their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and maybe make decisions, you know, that are based on the real world that's happening around them.
Instead of killing the environment and hoping for the rapture before they go, so
well, exactly.
To deal with the results.
Yeah, see, the rapture is religiously irresponsible because it causes people to make really bad decisions on the assumption that the future isn't going to be there because Jesus is going to come back and destroy the world and take all the good people up in heaven.
What they're not realizing it is that we are destroying the world, and no one's going to come out of anywhere to take us anywhere else.
Yes, yeah, they may succeed in destroying the world, but you know, then the realists have to come and pick up the pieces because there isn't any, you know, deity up there that's going to come and bail us out. You know, we're here on our own.
The Church of Religion is, if you don't mind my metaphor, the cockroaches that will survive the nuclear holocaust.
If the human race, you know, makes a mistake, then the cockroaches in another billion years or so will get their turn to see if they accept reality or not.
I like that. James, you had something to say?
I did. It was a while ago. I was going to say, so basically, your religion is there to promote the idea or to help people make their decisions based on reality instead of like an idealism, which is like destroy all other X or, you know, any other variable. You want to destroy those that do not conform to this specific program. I don't know quite how to say that.
That sounds
Benadryl, not really in reality right now. Have a cold.
We're here to make reality cool. We want people to, you know, to think reality is cool. We want people to talk about reality. We want people to think about reality. We want people to explore reality. And that's what the Church of Reality is about, is that reality is an incredible, you know, thing here, you know, where we live in a fascinating universe. And when we focus on things like, you know, God and all these other fictional stuff, we miss out on the next life and all this stuff. We miss out on the reality that's here, and we miss out on this life. And this life is incredible. And we want people to experience this life and to figure out, you know, who we really are and what's really going on, and to envision what it is that we as a human race want to evolve into.
Okay, so here's my question. First of all, I really like this. This is awesome. And I think that it's something that I want to continue monitoring and be a part of, actually. How do I join the church?
Well, you just start with the mailing list, and then I have a discussion board. And then if you have ideas, you contribute, because the Church of Reality is an open-source religion. We're a lot like the open-source software projects. And I see my role as similar to the role of Linus Torvald in Linux, as a benevolent dictator and project manager who's basically creating a software project, what we call the kernel, which is our doctrine, is basically the operating system for the human race. So what we're doing is we're trying to answer all the big questions, you know, what's the difference between right and wrong, what's moral code and things like that in relationship to reality and in relationship to our axioms that the Church of Reality is about the human race exploring reality. And
well, check this out. I want to ask you a question, because I am interested in this, but I want to talk to you about this cartoon controversy. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come right back and talk about the cartoon controversy. Does that sound good?
Sure.
All right, great. Hold on. This is the Naked Ape. We'll be right back. And this is Zion and I with the Bay. All right, we had to stop swearing off stage here because the song was over. But that was Zion and I with, what song was that? The Bay.
I love Zion and I. They're so tight.
Look, we can agree on something. In reality, they're really tight. Jesus. Or, I mean,
reality.
Jesus.
Awareness.
Awareness.
I don't know.
Where to teach?
Mark, what do you say instead of Jesus when you get upset?
Well, sometimes I write letters to the editor and I say I thank God that I'm an atheist. You know, so I use the same expression as everybody else.
Oh yeah, okay. But then isn't it a little less powerful when you say Jesus? It's just offending people. You're not actually like taking the Lord's name in vain or whatever. I don't know. Sorry. Okay, so let's talk about the cartoon controversy, because this is interesting. It says here that, unlike some religious religions, the Church of Reality isn't afraid of a little humor. We aren't afraid of someone being critical of what we believe in. We don't turn violent over mere words or symbols. The cartoon is... Oh, and then you chose a cartoon where it says the reality of the Church of Reality, and it has, like, a guy with a whip and devil horns whipping somebody on, like, a goalpost turned upside down or something.
Yeah, one of our members sent that in. I asked for a cartoon to be drawn that was really offensive, and I looked at that and said, yep, that's real offensive. Let's post that. Because I wanted to show the world that the Church of Reality doesn't turn violent over symbolism. That.
Well, then, if that's the case, why didn't you publish the Muhammad comic? This is a response to what's happening in the Middle East, right? Is this what this piece is about? Okay, me and Matt were actually arguing about this a couple of weeks ago. He was pro the cartoons being published, and I was against them, just because there's only one simple fact. It's just cultural sensitivity. That's it. That's my argument. So taking that into consideration, why didn't you publish? If you guys were making a statement about freedom of the press and humor in cartoons, I'm wondering why you didn't actually publish the comic themselves and instead had one drawn.
Well, because I wanted to publish a comic that was offensive to us rather than something that was offensive to somebody else to use as an...
But I don't think it's really offensive to you. I think you think it's funny. Didn't you just say that like a minute ago, that it's kind of humorous? We're not afraid of...
It is an offensive cartoon. I mean, I look at that, you know, and I think, you know, this is really tasteless, and I published it anyhow. But I was trying to make a point that... The cartoons like that, drawn about realists, are not going to cause us to turn violent, and it's not going to cause us to demand the suppression of other people's free speech. We expect to be criticized, and that we're not going to take offense to that, because taking offense to such things is chilling to free speech, and we believe very strongly in free speech and free expression, even if it's offensive to other people.
Yeah, I actually run a magazine myself, and we practice, you know, free speech as well, but we do have taste, and we do, I don't want to say censorship, but there are things in the mainstream media that they will not publish because of, you know, emotional sensitivities. For instance, when Nick Berg was decapitated in the Middle East, they didn't actually print any of the pictures of, you know, what had happened,
right,
you know, because of taste reasons. It's not because it's, you know, against freedom of speech. You know,
hold on a minute. The other thing is, they also don't publish the names of rape victims, usually. They're not supposed to when they're young or underage or whatever. I think that it's a little different, though, when you're talking about these Muslim cartoons, because, yes.
Again, cultural sensitivity. Well, I mean, it's just something, you know, we don't, you know.
No. Because it's not that you have to be sensitive to someone else's culture, therefore you can't say what you want. I mean, for instance, I mean, your magazine is publishing a piece that some people might find racist, and we were talking about it before the show. So I think that it's a fine line, what sensitivities you decide to be sensitive to.
It might
to.
Not even
you
guys, be in the piece.
You guys are both master debaters.
Thanks. The way we see it is that we see cartoons criticizing other religions, and other religions don't go out and start, you know, killing people over it. So if we can publish cartoons about other religions, then we should be able to publish cartoons about all religions. And if we allow ourselves to be censored by Muslim violence, then Muslim violence wins.
Right. And I mean, the interesting part about this piece, and I agree with you in that, you know, I think that the cartoon controversy really showed a lot of differences between, you know, the kind of culture, the clash of civilizations thing that I don't believe in, that Samuel Huntington started, is to me a bunch of hooey, and this violence is more about an oppressed people who feel like they've been, you know, treated pretty badly.
It was a straw that broke the camel's back.
And set off a lot of, exactly, I mean, it was,
yeah,
like,
it's not Muslim violence that's winning right now, it's American violence that's winning.
Well, that, and also I think it's also, you know, oppressed people who are pretty pissed, and then this is like poking or throwing sand in their face.
Well,
so I agree with you that I'm sorry, go ahead.
Buddhists in Tibet have been oppressed violently by their Chinese communist oppressors for, you know, dozens of years, you know. And the Buddhists don't go out and start killing people the way the Muslims do. They have been oppressed, they've been killed, they've been tortured, just like Muslims have been. But there's a difference between Buddhists and Muslims, is that Muslims are much more comfortable with violence than Buddhists are. So that just shows that it's not the oppression itself that justifies the violence, as Muslims would have you believe. It's a violent religion.
The doctrine of Islam is not actually inherently violent, is it? I think they condemn violence, but the actions are, and that's your point, right?
The Prophet Muhammad, you know, was married to a 9-year-old girl, you know, who he raped, and the word of assassin,
what?
You know, came.
Is that true? Where did the history of
you know, who Muhammad was? You know, that he was a real guy, unlike Jesus, who's a fictional character. Muhammad's a guy who actually existed. And, you know, he actually, you know, the coin assassin was based on, you know, the you know, activities of, you know, the followers of Muhammad going around killing people. You know, this is a religion that has a tradition of violence, and quite frankly, it's something that we need to talk about and help Muslims evolve, you know, past their violent aspects of their religion.
Right. Well, I think that's very interesting, and I want to look into that more, because it's something I haven't studied, so I can't speak from an educated point of view on that. But the idea that somehow that the Church of Reality, which is reality-based, is here to help other religions evolve, it strikes me as somewhat paternalistic.
Well, all religions are based on evangelizing their religion. You know, Christians, you
right.
know, evangelize Christ. You know, Muslims evangelize. Most religions, Jews don't do much in the way of evangelizing, but we have an agenda, and our agenda is to make reality important. So we don't necessarily feel like we have to convert everybody to realists, but we do want to make reality important in society so that when the big decisions are made, that reality is taken into consideration, and we feel like all religions will be better off if they embrace reality. And if you talk to members of other religions about reality, basically you won't find anybody actively rejecting reality. They may say, well, we already believe in reality, you know, which we say, fine, you know, let's talk about that. But
well, Mark, it was a pleasure to meet you, and I hope to talk to you again soon. Again, that's thechurchofreality.org. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, thank
have
you.
A good day.
Yeah, have a good one.
Okay.